But we'll start right at 6. All the sides stop.
Pushing the card around.
Good.
Yeah, I know. Now my.
All right, it is 6 p.m. I will call to order the October 25th Smyrna School Board Board of Education meeting. We will start with a Pledge of Allegiance and moment of silence led by Mrs. Weber.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic, which is the land, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
All right. The next agenda item is 3.1, changes to the agenda. Do we have any?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
And it's designated with an asterisk, and it's 9.4, modern controls change order.
I would entertain a motion to
move to accept the changes to the agenda.
I have a motion and a by Mr. Snow, a second by Dr. Wilson. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Next item up for business is item 4, the administration report.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. Dare I say welcome home. Just wanted to start off by introducing some members of our sixth grade band here at Tinkham. We'll be playing a few selections for us this evening before going into our presentation.
Good evening. So we're going to be doing 5 little short songs. This thing they've been working on since school began this year. This is our second year. We've had a couple kids change instruments and move on to some bigger instruments. Like Axel here is playing deep baritone as he moved from trumpet. So some of this has been a change and this is new to them. They're learning amazing things and they're doing great things this year. So we're going to do some short songs starting from the first one we learned at the beginning of this year, which was Camp Talents. The next song is a song called Morning. Next song is a song they kind of built off of what they learned last year. So they learned a song called Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. It's called Variations on a Familiar, or Variations on a Familiar Theme of the Now, woman called Now. But it used to be Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. So when they learned it last year, they just learned the theme. This year they learned how to do variations on it, which changed the rhythms a little bit. So this is going to be Variations on a Familiar Theme. Now we're going to do a favorite, because people know it's called When the Saints Go Marching In. And there's a favorite that they always enjoy playing. It's called the Hard Rock Blues. So it gives them a chance to have a little rock sounding song to play at the end. So this is their favorite song, Hard Rock Blues. Concert is December 14th, Thursday. We will play at 7:30 or 4 closing at 6:30. So we'd love to have you come out to support us and enjoy a little holiday concert before our Christmas break. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you for that. Yeah, all of you did an amazing job. That really is awesome. It's the favorite part of the meeting for me is the student involvement. And it also helps give us all a reminder of why we're all here. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
All right, guys, in the interest of time, I'll keep going. Why are we here? We're here for them, right? So I just wanted to make sure moving forward, each and every time you guys are here, we have some kind of student showcase for you to demonstrate the hard work and the talent that they think with us. Well, I want to get started. Andrews, everything that we do here is about team, right? With a team, and the ship doesn't go without these two things. So, not take too much of the course time, but wanted to give you guys some insight into what's driving us here at JBM. Learning that I'm a visual learner, learning that presentation, if you will, can help guide some of the insight here at JBM. Leon, here you go again with the rocks. The rocks are important. I promise they are. Right. So the sense of belief, right? The sense of camaraderie, the sense of team. I've been a member of a team probably ever since I can walk. That's the atmosphere that we're building. We're building a solid team, and it starts with these two ladies down to our specialists and to our classroom teachers. I'm gonna steal Deb's words from a few years ago. Our greatest resource are teachers, right? So we want to make sure that they are appreciated. We want to make sure that they feel love on a daily basis. Every single day our kids come in the building before we get the day started or throughout our morning announcements, they're told that they're loved. In case mom and dad kick them out of the car because they're rushing to get to work, before the day gets started, they're told that they're loved. And we also make sure that they know that we're going to challenge them on a daily basis. Shania, I hope I'm doing this thing right. This is fancy for me. Shania, I'm clicking the button. there we go. So just wanted to, I don't take too much. So just wanted to reflect a little bit on that driving force of our mission and vision and our motto. So this is something that we collaborated on last summer. Didn't get a chance to present it to the board, but it's visible on our website. I'm not gonna read it word for word, but just wanted you guys to get a feel for what that looks like. I'm gonna speak on some of the words that we wanted to focus on, right? So we wanna have that safe environment, that supportive environment. Both are driven by a family first focus, right? Because that's how we operate as a family within the school and our parents as an extension of our families. Want to foster leadership within our kids. We want them to be critical and analytical thinkers. Want them to be able to work through problems without providing them solutions so that they can learn how to fail, but also get back up and strive to be better. And honestly, our motto, like, protect the flock. Right, so Mrs. Weber, welcome to the flock. Welcome to the flock. That's an extension of our JVN family. The guiding portion of the guiding light, if you will, for just want to give you guys a snippet of our school-wide plan. So, why are we doing what we're doing, and how do you track what you're doing? These are the main areas that we focus on, just to strengthen our instruction, our tier instruction, tier one instruction in math and ELA, and also for our multi-tiered supports, system of supports for academics, and that crucial part, that social-emotional part of our day, right? To get our kids regulated, to get them calm, to get them focused before we get into instruction. If they're not, there's nothing to be productively done throughout that day. So that's a heavy focus for us as well. Just combining these two, they're very similar. The major differences are really the tools and resources provided through our Office of Curriculum and Supports. Our weekly PLCs for our teachers to collaborate, that's super important for us as a school, grade level, department, content area. Want to make sure that we have those things aligned, right? And provide them with a safe space to have productive and constructive conversations, to be able to give feedback, but also to make sure that they're staying aligned with the prescribed curriculum. New to us this year as a state is DTGSS. I think we all are getting acclimated to that process. Great feedback so far. Our teachers are very much appreciative of that more consistent time within the classroom. Throughout the year, and not just a one and done for our veteran teachers, but that continued support and feedback throughout the year. As we collaborate as a team, right? So it's important for us to get together during that 6 to 8 week window of time with our admin, our counselors, our instructional specialists, our classroom teachers, our school psychologists, our related specialists to ensure that we're meeting the needs of our most needed kids, right? So our teachers identify kids who are maybe struggling academically or behaviorally so that we can then put some supports in place so that we're leveling the playing field, so to speak. But also going back to what's driving it, it's the data, right? That factual information driving those decisions. For our social emotional learning process, we've implemented, I'm going to point out the NEST. So the NEST emotional social group is new to us here at JVM. This summer, I'm going to give kudos to Mrs. Andrews. She's going to hate me for it, but I'm going to give kudos to Mrs. Andrews. So you think about going out to get training. What do you do with that training? You bring it back and you implement the strategies and the information that you've learned. So our NEST group is a microcosm of the high school's huddle. We don't meet every week with all of our students, but our students that we know need that extra support, we're tracking them on a weekly basis. We have subgroups, and we're intentionally pairing them with adults that can build relationships with them so that they have a person, right? Within those nest groups, us as admin meet additionally with students just to make sure that they're getting that, let's call it over the top support, if you will, throughout their day week, their school year here at JVM. Just wanted to kind of highlight some of the activities that we do. We always start the year with not just our block party, but our school tour and open house. We combine all of those this year. We have a short video at the end to kind of highlight some of the things that we've been doing so far. Our student council, building future leaders. That's very important to us as a goal. Highlighting Girls on the Run, our yearbook club, those programs provide our students with opportunities to learn and grow outside of the classroom. These are just some of the student activities that we have to offer to our students here at JVM. They get very competitive. Field day, I learned something new. Oh my gosh. So that break at lunch and the trash talking between the red team and the black team, and you're the ops of this team and that team, and lunch is like a healthy competition. But borderline, I kind of had to feel like I had to step in a little bit. Like, am I going back to my high school here? Like, but it's healthy fun. But our kids love to compete, and we want to push them to compete, but also learn how to compete on a positive level, if that makes sense. And as always, we always end our year with our 6th grade promotion ceremony. That was new for me. Was extra special for me because my youngest was promoted to the middle school, so I stole a kiss and while she was on the stage, which I did embarrass in front of everyone. But I'm dad, I can do that once every 4 to 5 years, I think. This is us, right? This is us. Family first, protect the flock. We believe in it. We live it. We breathe it. We may not be on the same page every single day, but we make sure that we get back to being on the same page to make sure we're supporting each other. The work that we do is hard, right? We want to make sure our teachers know that they're appreciated. I'm going to go back to it, make sure that they know that they're appreciated, and also empowering them with the resources to do their jobs effectively. And Shannon, we're going to mess this up with the video. So just want to share a brief video for you guys and open up for questions if you have it.
There's no way waiting now.
You gotta hold it down to turn it on.
There you go.
So, good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Clark and Mrs. Andrews and Mrs. Mumley. And it is a joy to hear students laughing and certainly playing music again. It's wonderful, and I can feel my foot tapping along. So, your teacher, and I apologize, I don't know her name off the top of my head. But it's obvious that she's worked with them, and they have practiced, because I will speak for myself. You could tell what songs they were playing, so thank you for that. That is our why. One of our other whys that I'd like to highlight this evening is our community and the support we receive from them, and how we work with them from our perspective. And that is one of our stakeholder commitments. It is a strong connection to family and community. highlight a couple of events that I've had the opportunity to either participate in or were community-inspired events. And so the first one was the Delaware Teacher of the Year celebration. That was actually last Wednesday evening. And that is always a highlight of the school year for many of us, including myself. While I think the Smyrna Teacher of the Year should have won, we do give congratulations to the teacher from Appaquinic. But it was a pleasure being there with Mrs. Massey from Clayton Elementary. Several of us on the dais were attended, and it's inspiring to hear all the stories regarding their classrooms, and we know, we see that when we go into our classrooms in Smyrna, we have just amazing teachers, as we saw this evening. So that is definitely a highlight of the year for me. I had a couple of other things with the community. I attended the Duck Creek Regional Library groundbreaking ceremony. I am quite excited about that. It's actually will be built on to one of our buildings that used to, I believe, house central office. So I'm excited to see that in the future and actually go there. The libraries are just, as we sit in one this evening, it's just one of the most magical places that you can go. And I think of it in a school building, I think of the library as almost the nucleus of the building where people come in and out. And the purpose of a library has grown over the last, I would say, 25 years to be more than just checking out books, but there are lots of other reasons to visit your library. So I look forward to not only attending there as a citizen, but also working with them on projects with the school district, as well as seeing that grow and be successful. Another meeting that I had the opportunity to go to was the mayor's prayer breakfast. I just want to thank Mayor Smith from Clayton Elementary, the town of Clayton, who invited me, and also the Smyrna mayor was at the breakfast. It was a combination, and so that was a great event to see and have some fellowship with community members regarding both our towns and the community which we serve. The other thing that I believe that as a superintendent, I think of myself as a teacher first, whether I'm going to a school, whether I'm sitting here, whether I'm planning for a meeting, I still think of it in terms of if I was in the classroom, and I think about the meetings that I plan, I create my lesson plan and I go from that. And just like a teacher, I reflect when it's over and think, I should have done this, or wow, that really went great. And I had the wonderful opportunity at our professional summit put on by our Office of Curriculum Instruction and Assessment back in September. And I had the opportunity to work with teachers in three different sessions. So it was an amazing event. We had food services, so it took a lot of people to get that event off. Food and nutrition, we also had food trucks, we had business and grounds, supervisor of grounds, Nick, and his people helping keep the building, the high schools clean, safe for everyone, and then also with finance and payroll, making sure and ensuring we had some people come in, and many of them came without a cost. So it was a great opportunity for us, and certainly from my perspective of being able to be the teacher for a couple of hours with our teachers on that day. The other thing two other things that I'd like to share around community events and that stakeholder commitment are we had a farm to school event with our child and nutrition office, and that was a great event. We had the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Education, we had Department of Education members come, we had our board members, Mrs. Weber and Mr. Skews were able to be there, and it was a great day just celebrating the work that Child Nutrition does in terms of really connecting to our communities and supporting our local businesses when it comes to our schools. Kids thought it was amazing. They had Brussels sprouts that day that looked pretty darn good to me. Not sure every child ate them, but they did. They did look good and they smelled good. And they also had great cider from
Fikers.
The other community event that I have to say, when I first came here, people talked about it, and now that I've had the experience of doing it twice, was homecoming. And what an amazing day. I was able to go first. The weather held out. It was an amazing weather evening, early evening. The rain held out until about third quarter later on. But the quotes that Smyrna puts together, they are nothing but outstanding, amazing products. And when we think about that community, I also think about students in the community that they have, and they go out to our farms, they find a place, a barn perhaps, or I think they're maybe all in barns, and it's just amazing. I happened to go out on the Monday before Friday with Mrs. Cook. We saw them, our lips were sealed for the rest of the week, and then to see the finished product on Friday, it's nothing but spectacular. And the parade, with the amount of community that right out here waited in line, and then that's because of community that we live in. It's the community that we serve, and it's just so amazing and so heartfelt in terms of the community support for our school district. And I've not seen anything like that anywhere else in my travels. So that was just a wonderful opportunity again. The final thing that I would like to talk about, and this group of people connect to each one of our stakeholders. And this group of people work tirelessly to ensure just that our schools are safe, sound, that our students receive a high quality instruction every day. They ensure that we are using our fiscal services or our fiscal resources responsibly. They connect to our families and our communities, and they ensure that our customer service is excellent. So I want to read a quick quote that just says, great leaders don't set out to be a leader. They set out to make a difference. It's never about the role, always about the goal. And for us as educators, our goal, and I'm going to use someone's words that a principal and I were talking, and he said, instead of using the word goal, he's been reading about the word impact. And I will say that the impact of this group on 6,000 children every day is amazing. And so to commemorate Principal Month, celebration of our principals, I have a video here this evening to share with you to highlight them. So with that, it's not just you, Leon.
I said we got fancy, so.
Just
wave your arms around and like wait for Sandy to make it work.
It's on.
Hold on, I hear stuff clicking back there. The man behind the curtain is on it.
He is on it, yes.
Oh, if I hear a good time. We'll sing it then.
Jesselyn Kitten, who put that together, and thank you to all of our principals. Every day, doing what you do is nothing short but miraculous. And I could not think of better people to learn, grow, and work with. So, very proud to be here with them, and we have an outstanding team. So that's how I'd like to end my.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Couldn't agree with you more. The principals are definitely the backbone of the administrative team, so they do a great job every day. Does anyone have any questions on Dr. Brown's reports or the other of the human resources operation, curriculum, special services, or financial reports that are available online?
So in a couple of the reports, I saw that we are starting an equity-centered principal pipeline. And since three out of the four people listed working on it are here, I'd love to hear a little more about that.
We are working with DOE. They will take on different topics for promotion and growth. Three districts did it last year, and we are one of three taking it on this year. And what we have done is a reflective study on our standards and backgrounds of how we look at our leadership team and what we're looking for in doing that. And they are working with us through professional development to set goals for the district of what is the district looking for in their leadership team and how we can develop our teachers as leaders. So we have had two meetings at this point, and we have started to set our goals. For example, yesterday we had our principals meeting, so we've started to share with them to get input from them of their process to becoming an administrator and how the district supported that process and other ways we could look at it. So it is a three-year project with DOE and the training we receive. So at this point we are setting our goals and participating in professional development.
So is the ultimate end goal this kind of a grow your own program where we hope to have even more highly qualified and capable candidates?
Absolutely. Yep. And looking at pipelines of where do we recruit and how do we build it along the way for people who have that interest.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Any more questions? All right. Item number six is formal public comment. We have no formal public comment signed up. We'll move on to item number seven, the student board member report.
Hold it down for a second.
Try it
one more time.
Start off, thank you all for having me tonight. As we all know, the past few weeks have been extremely hectic for the high school with homecoming. As always, Smyrna High School holds a pep rally on game day, and the spirit stick was rightfully won by the junior class. I mean, no, it's hard for me to admit that. The juniors also pulled off first place in the float competition with a Super Mario float, and as Ms. Brown and everyone else is saying, if you haven't seen them yet, I highly recommend you drive by the high school because we put so many hours into those. They were followed by the sophomores' Ghostbusters design, the senior class's Barbie float, and finally the freshman came in last with the greatest show. But every single float was incredibly amazing. Also during homecoming, Kylie Jones and Joshua Wright were elected as our homecoming king and queen, and was absolutely well deserved. Our Blue and Gold Club volunteered with the Special Olympics Delaware for the Smyrna School District Bocce Ball Tournament held at Smyrna High School on October 5th. 35 student volunteers helped work the event with teams from five schools on 12 different courts. Students from our school won, luckily. So congratulations to Kieran Inerity and Jameson Moore on winning gold. Additionally, our Smyrna BPA Eagle Outlet is open and selling some all new Smyrna gear. The The store is open during all of our lunches at the high school, and next week we'll be open in the front lobby on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I was asked to ask the board if they would want any flyers for their new limited time blanket. So if you have any questions regarding that, please reach out to me after this. With that, the high school's career technical education organization has had a really busy few weeks working with local businesses to get anticipation for homecoming. Last Thursday, Ms. Almondo, Ms. Marvel, and Mr. Davis took out three CTE representatives, I was lucky enough to be one of them, to deliver gifts to businesses on Main Street and right before the parade. We wanted to show our gratitude because we know that we are noisy. Students delivered mums of baked goods made by our culinary pathway and CTE magnets to over 30 different businesses. Along with that, the club organized an exploratory career fair for our district's eighth graders, where 20 business and industry representatives, along with 23 CTE ambassadors, spoke with the entire eighth grade about careers. The ambassadors will revisit the eighth grade in January prior to scheduling for the high school to talk about CTE pathways and student clubs and organizations. We are also doing a fall dictionary project coming up with the Smyrna Clayton Rotary and our district's third graders. Our CTEs, Ms. Almondo and Mr. Davis, will also be hosting the Central Delaware Chamber of Commerce's leadership class, made up of 30 business and industry representatives, on November 2nd after school to talk about CTE and work-based learning, along with featuring the Marketing Today, Allied Health, and Culinary Arts program areas. Our school's student government has also been working hard, hosting a very successful blood drive with the Delmarva Blood Bank. The blood drive was a huge success, as 64 units were collected from students, staff, and a couple of parents. I sadly passed out during it. the next SGA blood drive will be on January 12th, 2024, and I would love to see some of your faces there. And not pass out. Students are also attending the Governor's Career Expo in November for professional experience. Additionally, Smyrna High School's BSE was also holding a karaoke night this Friday to mark the club, and I would also love to see some of you there to help support our students. Finally, our field hockey team is 10-0 for the first time in school history. The girls have 4 regular season games left before they venture into the postseason tournament, so very much good luck to them. The team beat Kent Cape Held Open with the first few weeks of the season and broke Delmar's over 120-game winning streak, which is insane. As our fall stars close out their seasons, we're all looking forward to the start of winter athletics, and that's all I have for you tonight.
Thank you. So a couple questions. You said fall and third grade project. What was that again?
So, to be completely honest with you, I haven't been given much information.
Okay.
But it's a dictionary project, so I assume it's to promote literacy.
Okay, dictionary project.
Every year, the Rotary Club will bring in dictionaries to third grade. So one day at lunch or, you know, whenever the building organizes it, they'll come in and they donate dictionaries to every student in our third grade.
Oh, wow. That's good. And the other one, could you send us all the email on the blankets?
Yeah, of course. I was planning on just seeing who wanted it, and then I was going to do a mass email after. So
just send
course.
It to all of us, then maybe we'll all feel obligated to get
that. Absolutely, no problem.
Pressure.
And then the field hockey, is it true that they have a game tomorrow night at 4 p.m.? Okay. Senior night.
True.
All right. Thank you for your report. Any questions? All right. We have no items under old business. We'll move on to new business. New business item 9.1 is approval of the board minutes for September 20th, 2023.
Make a motion to approve the board minutes as submitted for September
2023. Second. I have a motion by Mrs. Malik, a second by Mr. Snow. Is there any discussion?
Under the minutes, action item 9.4 was a motion to table, but that motion did not include a date in the original motion. So for that reason, I move to amend the minutes to remove the words December 13th, 2023 from action item motion 9.4.
I have a motion to amend by Mr. Snow, a second. Mrs. Malik, does anybody have any questions on the amendment? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. The motion to amend is approved 5-0. We have a motion on the floor with the amendment. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. That's 5-0, passing the motion. Item 9.2, approval of monthly financial report.
Good evening. So in the packet of information that you have, we need a monthly report for September 30th, 2023. Just a couple of highlights. The revenue received to date on the local side is in line with where we expected. Do a comparison year over year from last year and the year before. We'll see a couple of shifts in the significant receipt of the local taxes, and that's just a timing issue with the county. So we put some flexibility in how we evaluate actual receipt. And as for that, everything else seems to be in line with where we expected.
Mr. President, I move that we accept the operating report as submitted.
Second.
I have a motion by Dr. Wilson, a second by Mr. Snow. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Item 9.3, school choice 2023-2024 school year.
I have 6 school choice applications for inter-district transfer and 4 choice applications for intra-district transfer, 1 inter-district school choice termination form, and 3 intra-district school choice termination forms. No denied choice forms have been received for this board meeting for the 2023-2024 school year. The recommendation of the administration that the inter-district students 1-6, the intra-district students 1-4, the intra-district school choice termination, and the intra-district school choice terminations 1-3 be admitted under choice this evening.
Mr. President, I move that we accept the Smart School District school choice as presented.
Second. I have a motion by Mr. Snow, a second by Mrs. Weber. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Next item, 9.4, the modern controls change order.
There we go. All right, so as you're aware, the Smyrna School District is engaged in a maintenance project of our central plant chillers. During that maintenance of those chiller motors, we discovered that one of the motors was operating outside of specifications. This resulted in a need to remove the motor, ship it back to the original manufacturer, do a teardown test of the motor, go through to make sure that there are no additional defects with the motor. As a result of that, we did determine that there was some additional work that needed to be done. The additional work that needed to be done pushed the repair beyond the $25,000 threshold, so we were required to notify the board of this change order request. So we are recommending this evening that you approve that change order request in the amount of $34,049 to Modern Control so that we could get the motor repaired and reinstalled to wrap up the chiller maintenance project.
I have a motion by Mrs. Malik, a second by Dr. Wilson. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Holt, just out of curiosity, $25,000. Didn't we approve a change order over the summer that was like $8,000? Like in July?
I think we, was it a, I'm not sure. I don't remember that one specifically. I can go back and check.
It just curious, like, I mean, we're, and it's, again, it has nothing to do with this. I just found it interesting. It was like, we approved one that was significantly less than $25,000 sometime over the summer.
I think they're presented for your information.
Yeah.
Got it.
Which we appreciate.
It doesn't matter. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
The project is 9 million to the board. I believe the change orders are presented for your information after. the fact, but we can just confirm that that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if we approved it or not. I just was curious, like I said, that's the first I think I'd seen the $25,000 mark, the threshold number, and I was like, I think we did one that was less than that. So
one of the, one of the reasons why I wanted to stress that value was if you look at the documents, the original, where the bare minimum was $22,549, and of course one additional item had to be performed, which pushed it beyond that value. So I wanted to reference that so that you guys were aware of why we didn't just accept this in the beginning.
And this was a bigger project that. While everything was apart and finding another issue, it's a lot cheaper, more efficient to fix it now than it would be to come back later. Is that correct?
Absolutely. If we did not do this repair now, it could have led to a catastrophic failure at a later date. And if you see the other prices that are associated with the repair, the rotor replacement, the stator replacement, and rewinding of the motor, all of those additional components could have then been required if the motor were not repaired to specification.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Item 9.5, SHS Ripken Baseball Experience, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, March 14th through March 17th, 2024. Sounds like I need to be a chaperone on that one.
Yes, this is a field trip for the high school, but Mrs. Cook and I approved it. So because it is over night, that's how it is.
I'll make a motion to approve the Summer High School Ripken Baseball Experience from Myrtle Beach as submitted.
Second.
I have a motion by Mrs. Malik, a second by Mr. Snow. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Do you know what the field trip's for?
It is Ripken baseball.
Like, so it's the baseball
team. It's the baseball team.
I assume.
Yep.
But I just want to be like, I've never heard of it. I was curious.
They did it last year, too.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think it has to do with training and the experience of baseball.
I was thinking about that in the senior trip, so I was like, oh,
any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. As I always do, I guess just remember that all these field trips, they are representing our district and our community. All right. Item 9.6. SHS BPA National Leadership Conference, Hilton, Chicago, May 10th through 14th, 2024.
Mr. President, I move that we accept item 9.6.
I have a motion by Mr. Snow, a second by Dr. Wilson. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Item 10, board policies. Item 10.1, board policy review.
We have several policies to bring to the table this evening. Several are second reading. And so we will begin. Would you prefer us to just go through each policy, or would you like to?
I think we can lump together 10.2 through 10.5.
Okay. I move that we accept policies 10.2, 10.3, 10.4, and 10.5 as their second and final reading.
I have a motion by Mr. Snow, a second by Mrs. Weber. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Item 10.6, the policy 5135, financial obligations, first reading, revision.
So policy 5135 is a rename of a prior policy that addresses student obligations. And 5135, I'm sorry, pulling up the original name of the policy, was lost and damaged textbooks and other school property. So we felt like this policy should better reflect what it's actually intended to do, which is address financial obligations. So two things needed to occur, some restructuring of the policy, as well as placing the policy on the new board-approved format. In this policy, you'll see a couple of things are new when compared to the old policy. We outline or define two terms. One is school property, which we define as items provided to students that are required for academic and or extracurricular use. And we also define financial obligations. That's money owed by students and their parents slash guardians, including but not limited to one, restitution for lost or damaged to instructional materials and equipment, two, cafeteria debts, three, restitution for property damage, including damage to buildings, furniture, and vehicles. So the goal of this policy is to address what we provide to students and recognize that as a result of providing that property or material to students, that they are financially accountable for that information or for that service or product provided to them. So the goal of the policy was to clean that up and be able to clearly identify the expectations, as the existing policy did not explicitly state some of the items in it, specifically cafeteria debts.
So going through this policy in 10.7, I have a lot of questions and thoughts and an interest of time. Mr. President, I move that we send item 10.6 and 10.7 back to Board Policy Review Committee to be brought back at the November meeting.
I'll
second. I have a motion by Mr. Snow, a second by Mrs. Malik. Is there any further discussion on the motion? So I guess my point for this discussion is I think that we're on the right track, but as Mr. Snow said, it's probably just a couple tweaks here and there that we could do on these two, the financial obligation policy, as well as the child nutrition policy that follows it.
Thank you.
Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Item 11, discussion, 11.1 is discussion on referendum.
So this evening we wanted to bring back the referendum. We discussed that at our last board meeting by tabling the vote. We continue on our end to continue to look at financials. We are having conversations with others regarding where we are. We're looking to DOE, Department of Education, for some guidance around the budget, as well as the Office of Management and Budget, as well as determining what would be most fiscally responsible for us as a school district. In addition to that, we do believe that we will have more information, as I mentioned last time, or more and better information regarding going to referendum after we see the governor's budget, etc. So we are thinking and believe that we will probably have our referendum in March, on March 9th, which is our I Love Smyrna School Day. So other members of the cabinet would also like to share some things that they have around the referendum. So I'll open it up to them as well.
So as far
as some of the information that you may have seen in my report pertains to timeline as it relates to the construction project. The alignment of the construction project to the referendum is essential. If, for example, we go to referendum or we go out for or continue to follow the timeline, which would be to put one of our contracts or one of our projects out to bid, we would not be bidding in good faith due to the fact that we would not have the funds to support that project. So that's one of the, I'll say one of the driving forces behind the need to change the timeline for when our projects go out to bid. So that's something that's, I'll say, a critical aspect of what's happening with the construction projects.
Roger, once the referendum, if the referendum passes, how quickly are we able to go to bid?
So we will be prepared to go to bid on two of our projects relatively soon. The Clayton Intermediate to Clayton Middle project will be ready to go. The North Elementary project will be just behind that, and that will be actually ready to go prior to the referendum. The project that's still lagging behind due to our inability to be able to purchase the property is the new intermediate school. And we're still, I meet weekly with several stakeholders, the landowner, his engineer, our engineering team, architectural team, recently added the town of Smyrna, their engineer, as well as offered or invited members from DLDOT, DENREC, and Kent Conservation District. So we have quite the multidisciplinary group that meets or tries to meet. Try to get as many as I can on Thursdays to discuss that. So we are pushing aggressively to get some of those issues addressed. The tax ditch watershed, which was an issue that came to light just a few months ago, we were able to get that resolved. So that's a step in the right direction. I'm having regular dialogue with DLDOT to discuss some of the issues that they're having with the developer and the construction of the roadway itself, as well as the roundabouts and the entrance to the school site. So we're pushing pretty aggressively on that one. If we're able to follow through with what I would say is an aggressive but reasonable timeline and be able to close that out by the end of the year, we would be able to move pretty quickly on that project to go to bid. I would not feel comfortable speculating exactly how quickly on that, but with shortly after the referendum, I would feel comfortable that we would be able to go to bid on that project.
So I think it's fitting that we're in JVM today to have this discussion, because according to DOE's numbers, it's the seventh most overcrowded school in the entire state of Delaware out of 186 or 188 schools. A question that I've been receiving quite a bit is, how would the capacity or these new schools affect JVM? And what it does is takes a grade level completely out of JVM at sixth grade, would then go to the middle schools, and then we would have two middle schools at sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, and fourth and fifth would be here, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so I think I appreciate what everyone has been doing with this referendum. I know we already went to referendum for these three projects and asked the community for that, the money to be able to build those, because of situations like what we're in JVM. We take this very seriously and don't want to go to referendum unless we absolutely have to. Then we're in another spot to where we would have never thought that inflation would have done what it has done to the material costs for building and how much more it's been. So, these projects are an absolute necessity for the school district, but we also want to be good financial stewards and try to get, to be honest with you, the state to pay their portion of the increase as well. So that's why you see a lot of us knowing we're going to a referendum, but not announcing yet what it's going to be and how much it's going to be, because we're trying to work with the state in order to get that to get a good agreed upon financial number and try to lessen the burden on the community as much as we possibly can. Any further discussion on the referendum?
May I
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to support Roger's comments about the timeline. Assuming that we are successful with the state funding and also successful with the referendum, we still will need to plan when we go out to bid to match the funding schedule that the state commits to. So if we were in line with the original funding schedule, we would be far enough along in funding of the projects to hit those milestones that Roger mentioned. But hearing what we've heard about the state and resources that may be available next year, there's always a caveat that they commit but don't match the original funding schedule that was out there. We should have an idea in December of what the state has supported us. We'll be public more so in January, so it will give us plenty of opportunity to provide updates. But it's a, from the process standpoint, moving along great timing-wise, but just a caveat, that's what I do.
A lot of factors are out of our control.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of art, and I guess just for the public's knowledge, my first question was, well, can we do two out of the three projects, you know, for the with the funding that we have? And unfortunately, that's just not the case because the CN and the way that we went to the referendum, it's an all or nothing deal legally. So I just want to try to answer as many questions and be as open and honest as we possibly can. Any further discussion on the referendum? Absolutely. Thank you for all your work. Item 11.2, unit count.
Well, Shandy.
Passing it around.
I don't have a clicker.
Oh. It won't work anyway.
Great. Thank you.
The number is like,
there you go.
We just thought it'd be a little bit easier because I too am a visual learner, even though I work with numbers and I'm a terrible artist, to present the information as we're talking about on the screen so everyone has all of the numbers in front of them. So we provided some enrollment data here. We know that we had some very odd occurrences in March of 2020. So we wanted to pull the historical data that dates back to September 30th of 2019. And you can see the growth that we had. Change of 191 is the 2019 enrollment data compared to 2018. So we were growing at a pretty significant rate at that point in time. On November 30th of 2020, when the September 30th count was taken, we were only one of two districts that actually grew by a student. So this shows you where we are at this point in time. It shows the changes by school building this September 30th compared to last September 30th. The unit count data, as many of you realize, is based on not only the number of students that we have, but the classification of the students that we have within the district. So although our enrollment count went down slightly last year, our unit count did not go down quite as much, so just under 0.5% there. Again, you can see the changes by building. What's important also to understand is the impact that we feel when students choose to go to charter schools or we have students choosing to go to other districts and or come to our district. Over time, we've seen things like Providence Creek open. We saw Delaware State Early High School open, and then they expanded the early high school to middle school ages. But overall, charter, we are having more students leave for charter schools than we have in the past years. It's important to note that we pay for those students going to those charter schools, and we have a difference in our net choice students. Incoming students come with support from their resident district. The outgoing students come with support from us, and you can see the overall impact on our student enrollment continues to increase. And negative direction.
Those incoming school choice, that's total?
Yes.
Of what we have, that's not new ones for this year, that's total what we have.
Correct. Yeah.
How do the our unit count numbers compare to what we've heard of that on the previous and to our 12 on the Sunday list?
Just slightly.
Slightly below the whole on the Sunday. Okay.
Which has never happened.
Just curious.
That I'm aware of.
Looking back at the enrollment growth here in the district, I'm not sure how far back the file goes, but it goes probably about 25 years. Looking at the growth, I wouldn't imagine that any time in recent history we haven't met the whole harmless number.
Any further discussion on the unit count? How is that? So we were negative overall 0.45, is that right?
That's units.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Mr. President, I'm moving on to executive session.
Second. I have a motion by Mr. Snow, a second by Mrs. Malik. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. We will move into executive session. As soon as we possibly can. All right, it is 8:49. We will call the meeting back to order. Next item up for business is 12, personnel.
Mr. President, I move that we accept personnel item 12.1, 12.2, 12.3, 12.4, 12.5, A through J, and L through M, 12.6, 12.7, 12.8, 12.9, 12.10, 12.11, 12.12, and 12.13.
I have a motion by Mr. Snow, a second by Mrs. Malik. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept personnel item 12.5, letter K.
I have a motion by Mr. Snow, a second by Mrs. Weber. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
No.
Dr. Wilson?
No.
Mrs. Malik? Mrs. Weber? The chair votes no. Motion does not carry 2-3. I would entertain a motion to return to back to executive session.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik? Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. We will have no further action after this executive session. We will just come back to adjourn. Thank you. All right, we are back to the regular meeting from executive session at 9:03. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion by Mrs. Malik, a second by Mr. Snow. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, Mr. Snow?
Aye.
Mrs. Malik?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. The board meeting is adjourned.